Welcome back to Hollywood Declassified. I'm John William Law, your host. We are talking about Montgomery Clift, the making of Raintree County, and what we call the longest suicide in Hollywood, which is the kind of story of the last years of Montgomery Clift. This series is kind of designed to promote a new book, The Longest Suicide in Hollywood, The Death of Montgomery Clift, which is published by Aplomb Publishing and should be out about the time that this podcast is airing. I've written the book, so I am talking a little bit about it. I'm not going into full detail of the book, but I am kind of focusing really on the car crash that sort of was the kind of driver, one of the key pieces behind his kind of difficult years. Monty Clift would live about 10 years after this event, but the crash, as we've covered in the previous episode, happened in 1956 during the filming of Raintree County, and he would become addicted to drugs and painkillers and things like that, and would use alcohol to kind of help him numb the pain and the agony of the injuries from his crash and then the actual other issues that he suffered from that. And so that would sort of become a big, difficult thing that he would have to bear for really the rest of his life. So he would continue to work for about 10 years. He would die in 1966. But we'll talk a little bit about the last years after this episode. But when we left you last time, he was still at the crash site. He had suffered the crash, and the photographers had shown up, and they were trying to get pictures of him. And Elizabeth Taylor kind of prevented them from taking any pictures of Montgomery Clift that night. It would take the ambulance 30 minutes to arrive on the scene of the accident. Before the ambulance arrived, Dr. Rex Kennemer appeared at the crash. Kennemer was Monty's West Coast doctor, and Taylor had the foresight to call him before leaving for the site of the crash. Kennemer had started a private practice in Beverly Hills in 1954 and was quickly becoming a doctor to the stars. Frank Sinatra, Gary Cooper, Jack Benny, Hedda Hopper, and Rock Hudson would be among the list of his clients. The car had been totally demolished, Kennemer recalled, after arriving on the scene. Monty had suffered severe head trauma. He was barely conscious when he arrived. As I peered in at him through the shattered door window, something quite astonishing took place. Monty regained not only his senses, but also his good humor. He opened his eyes and recognized me. Doctor, I'd like you to meet Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth, this is Dr. Kennemer. We had never met, but as a result of the accident, we gradually grew close. I became Elizabeth Taylor's personal physician for many years to come, Kennemer would note. When the ambulance finally arrived, the paramedics were able to free Monty from the car wrapped around him. He was strapped onto a stretcher and carried up the hill to a waiting ambulance. Taylor climbed into the back of the ambulance to be with Monty, while Felix Gates rode in the front, with the remaining group following behind in a car. At the hospital, Gates recalled that Taylor remained composed until Monty was being taken into the operating room. She then became hysterical, said Gates, and I comforted her as best I could. Taylor had lost another friend and co-star, James Dean, to a car crash just in September of 1955. At Cedars of Lebanon Hospital, doctors worked to restore Monty's face. By the time of the surgery, his head had swelled to the point you could not see his eyes, and his cheeks had become level with his nose. It was like a big red soccer ball, recalled Rock Hudson as he watched in horror. Cliff's close friend, Libby Holman, arrived at the hospital soon after she heard the news. Holman and Taylor immediately began arguing after she arrived. According to a nurse on the staff that evening, the ladies began squabbling the moment Holman entered Cliff's hospital room. What the fuck is she doing here? Holman reportedly said, motioning at Taylor. Screw off, Taylor jabbed back. According to the nurse, the two nearly came to blows while poor Monty, his face swaddled in bandages, lay helplessly in bed. Cliff's jaw had been broken in four places and his nose in two. They both had to be reset, and it would take Monty weeks to recover enough to find out if the doctors had managed to save his face. He lay in the hospital with bandages around his head while visitors came to wish him well. Reports of the crash made newspapers around the country. MGM's publicity department downplayed the crash, never disclosing the seriousness of Cliff's condition. In reality, it was far more serious than many knew. Cliff had suffered serious a serious concussion, countless cuts and bruises on his face, a serious gash through his middle and upper lip. He also lost several teeth, broke his nose, his jaw, his right cheekbone, and damaged his sinus area. Doctors later discovered that his jaw had been wired incorrectly and began to heal misaligned, so it had to be broken again and reset. Fortunately, the studio had insured Cliff to the tune of $500,000, $450,000 of which was ultimately paid to the studio as compensation for expenses during Cliff's recovery. It was able to keep the production afloat while he recuperated. Ironically, this was the first time MGM had ever taken insurance on a film in case of injury to one of its stars. The studio's reasoning had been that because of Cliff's well-known use of drugs and alcohol, MGM studio executives feared he might not be able to complete the film. Production on Raintree County was shut down for 9 weeks while Cliff recovered. The studio wondered if they could finish the film without him and even considered replacing Cliff. However, with half the production completed and more than $2 million spent, it would be nearly impossible to reshoot. There was enough work left for Cliff in order to finish the film. It was also feared that removing the star from the picture would be a severe blow to him personally, with urging from Elizabeth Taylor, who feared he might kill himself if his role was recast, studio executives stood by Monty. All they could do was wait and hope he'd be able to work again. A month of surgeries to reconstruct Cliff's face, as well as physical therapy, followed. To deal with pain, doctors prescribed heavy painkillers. Monty would now have another barrage of drugs to include in his collection. Once released, he settled into a rented home in Beverly Hills to recuperate. To suppress the pain, Monty started drinking again, even though doctors had warned him to avoid alcohol because it would slow the healing process. While the majority of the damage was done to Monty's face, his body was relatively unharmed. He did suffer serious whiplash, causing damage to his neck and back. It resulted in little mobility and exercise during his recuperation. Lacking exercise and existing on a liquid diet, Monty lost much of his muscle mass. While never a big man, Monty usually looked trim and fit until the accident. After the crash, he stopped going to the gym and stay in shape and became increasingly skinny and at times almost emaciated. Even after much of his healing, he would remain very thin for the rest of his life. Elizabeth Taylor's marriage to Michael Wilding collapsed under the strain of the accident, and with Monty's absence to mediate the troubled marriage, Taylor left Wilding and spent a week hiding at Rock Hudson's home, sleeping in his guest bedroom. She then turned to producer Mike Todd for comfort, although other reports suggest she'd already been involved with Todd from the time of the crash. The couple's inevitable separation and publicity announced the day before she returned to Kentucky to film Raintree County. It was during the weeks when filming was shut down that an affair with Mike Todd became serious. Todd intended to make Liz his wife, and Monty once again would be caught in the middle. Next up, we will go back to Raintree County. We will see the movie completed, and then we'll do some wrap-up on kind of the later years after that. If you're interested in more, obviously, excerpts from the book are included in this podcast. The book is called The Longest Suicide in Hollywood, The Death of Montgomery Clift, and is published by Palm Publishing. It is available in print and ebook formats. There's also an enhanced edition on Apple iTunes iBookstore, and the book is also available from pretty much wherever books are sold, including places like Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.